Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, headline news, ladies and gentlemen, are all over the board as it normally is, but I noticed one area of coverage that I thought was notable, and we're going to discuss it today. And we're going to start with some economic news. For instance, big news. For instance, in just the last 3 days, the stock market broke 23,000. Many people said it would never happen. Well, it did. And it has stayed over that now. It's actually up as we make this program today. Jobless claims, a leading indicator of what's happening, lowest since 1973. And yesterday marked the 30th anniversary of the 1987 stock market collapse, with a warning, though, from some that conditions are now prime for it to happen all over again, that the collapse, that is. But into this mix of positive records, the Chinese made a very high-stakes economic chess move just a short time ago that poses a potential impact on the U.S. dollar and the U.S. economy that is potentially devastating, as well as Saudi Arabia there in the Middle East made another high-stakes economic move, this time with Russia. So this and other key economic and financial considerations we're going to consider in segments one and two today with our special guest and economic expert, William Parker. He is the CEO of Grandview Asset Management, which is located in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Then in segments three and four, we're going to bring in Middle East expert and former Muslim imam, Egyptian-born Dr. Mark Christian, to give us his perspective on the high-stakes strategic alignment of Hamas and Fatah. There, and they have come together in agreement relative to who will represent the Palestinians, and the high-stakes strategic chess move there of Russia that is making further moves in the Middle East, and again in this context with Saudi Arabia, which we're going to get a piece of that input from William Parker in just a minute. So all of this and much more today on Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohr, and our special guest, of course, as I've just mentioned, for a packed program bringing you information that is critical but little discussed and all from a constitutional and biblical perspective. The general theme for today's program, if you want to follow us in this direction, I'm terming it High Stakes Chess: Russia, the dollar in the U.S. economy, China, Saudi Arabia, and the Middle East. There's a lot of pieces swirling together, and we're going to jump right into it right now in this program today. And I'm going to invite in William Parker, economic expert, CEO of Grandview Asset Management, and also host of his own economic and finance radio show. Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today, William.
Good afternoon, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. We're pleased to have you on, William, and I want to go here first in a general sense. You've heard kind of what I said. I'd like to get your quick response to these records that are being broken. Just this week alone, I mentioned them. Stock market breaking 23,000. Jobless claims lowest since 1973. We just the other day, 30th anniversary of the worst market crash since the Great Deception. All of these are great things, but frankly, yesterday as well, it was announced that insurance losses that are projected at this point, and not all the claims are in, from these most recent fires in California have now crossed the $1 billion mark. And that doesn't take into account the billions of dollars of damage in Houston from Harvey and in Florida. And then on top of that, Congress, just yesterday, Senate anyways, passed a $4 trillion spending package, which is $1 trillion more than what was. And Congress is operating with an uncapped budget as we speak. William, bring some of these things into balance. It just doesn't seem like all of this can just continue to roll forward without some ramifications. Are you believing that, as some saying, we're prime for a correction, put it that way, more severely perhaps a collapse? Where are we, and how should our listeners evaluate all of these things as they're happening?
Well, first of all, Sam, you know, my opinion is of my own, and, you know, before people make financial decisions, they need to talk to their financial advisor or whoever is managing their money. That being said, you know, there has been every year for the past 8 years, people have come out and said there's going to be a collapse or a correction. And every year, including this year, they've been absolutely wrong. The market's really truly being driven by earnings. And another part of that is that the dollar has been devaluated, so it's less expensive to buy our products overseas. So companies that have international exposure are seeing tailwinds in selling their products to other countries. And we're also seeing GDP around the world grow at a very fast rate compared to our own GDP. So other global growth is actually starting to take off, and investors are looking to some of those markets to maybe move out of the domestic market into the global marketplace. I would tell you that really when it comes to earnings, when it comes to an individual security, it is really a case-by-case basis of whether a company has good cash flow, a very good balance sheet, how much cash they have on hand. All those things really come into play when you're talking about individual securities and how they will be affected when, not if, but when the market does have a sell-off or a correction. I personally don't think there's anything systemically wrong in the marketplace like 2007, 2001, and 1987. So from a standpoint of systemic risk, outside of, let's say, pension plans, I think pension plans are in quite a bit of trouble across the United States. But that being said, the states and the municipalities are not backed by the Pension Guarantee Act, so the average citizen is really not on the hook for those pensions. So there is some systemic risk when it comes to pension plans across the United States. So if you own municipal bonds, that's something that you might want to be concerned about, because the municipality may not have the money to pay the pension and also pay the interest on the bonds or the principal when the bonds come due. As far as what's happening throughout the rest of the world, something very interesting happened last week. China, for the first time, traded...
Well, Bill, I want you to hold that until the next segment. I want you to hold that next segment here, because that is a big issue. And ladies and gentlemen, I've mentioned something. We're going to talk about that. Before we go there, you did a great job of tweaking that and setting up this next segment. But in light of where we are here, barring something significant from overseas, which is what we're going to talk about, is there anything else? What is it in the current U.S. system that you think holds the biggest potential for negatively impacting this market? Is it some action by Congress?
I think it's the lack of action, Sam. I think if they don't get anything done by the end of the year, I think people they have one foot out the door right now when it comes to investing, and they may take some of their gains here by the end of the year, or they may wait till January to push their capital gains into the following year. So it's the inaction of Congress that may have an impact. I think it may have a very big impact, a positive impact on the market.
Well, that was making my next question. We're talking about tax cuts right now. Do you think a passing of this tax cut package the president's recommending will have a stimulative effect, positive effect on the economy?
If it includes repatriation of dollars and also businesses be able to expense their purchases in 1 year as opposed to amortizing over a period of years, I think it will have a major impact on the market, possibly on the upside.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening today to Stand in the Gap Today. Sam Rohr and special guest in this segment. And next, William Parker. He is the CEO of Grandview Asset Management. When we come back, we're going to talk about that major move by China. Just last week, a major, major move that really could have an impact on our dollar and our economy. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Our general theme today, ladies and gentlemen, is high-stakes chess. Russia, the dollar and the U.S. economy, China, Saudi Arabia, and the Middle East. We could link a lot more into these things than we are, but I've selected these elements I've mentioned, because they all bear on significant things that affect you and I relative to our dollar, our economy, those things which we sometimes take for granted, but are really, really, really significant. And so our guest today, I've asked to be with us here, is William Parker. He is the CEO of Grandview Asset Management, located in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He has his own radio program on financial issues, and he's with us today as we consider some of these geopolitical events that have direct bearing on some things that affect us all, but are really receiving very little information. Now, let me go into it, this section, and set it up by saying this. No one probably did more to upset the world order and the economic stability of the world, or to diminish the world role of the U.S., perhaps more than Barack Obama. He really did do that, ladies and gentlemen. And then playing along with his and other moves over the last years, you've got to consider that Vladimir Putin and Russia have been playing chess, moving and positioning themselves to take advantage of every opportunity to weaken the United States and to take greater strategic advantage. Probably nobody does that better than Vladimir Putin. But China is instrumentally in this link of looking to take advantage of the United States. It's not ironic, it's not off the wall that President Trump has continued to label China as playing on an unlevel playing field. Well, one high-stakes economic move they made last week has received very little attention, but in my opinion, and I want to get William Parker's opinion here on it, but I think it poses a monumental threat to the U.S. economy, and I want to bring you in right now, William, on this issue. China pulled a chess move. I think, now again, it's in my opinion, I think it's an attempt to derail the U.S. economy. Tell us what they did and why, in your opinion, it is an impactful move, or if you want to discount it altogether, feel free to do that too.
Well, throughout history, oil has been exchanged on what's known as the petrodollar. So the price of oil is really based off U.S. currency, regardless of whether it was traded between China and Russia or Saudi Arabia and some other country. All oil was based off the petrodollar, and that's really been that way since we started buying oil and trading oil. Something happened last week where China actually made an agreement to buy oil from Russia in the yuan using Chinese currency. China also went out to several other countries to try to strike a very similar deal to buy oil in their own currencies as opposed to using the petrodollar. And now they've created a second currency known as the petro yuan. So this could have a major impact. We're obviously glad other countries disagreed to do this. That being said, it does set up a particular situation that if the rest of the world were going to change the way oil is exchanged between one country and another, and they devalue the petrodollar exchange, that's going to have an impact on our currency and also could have a very big impact on the United States and its economy, and all the way in the way we actually trade our fossil fuels to other countries, and the way we actually purchase fossil fuels from other countries. I think the reason why other countries turn China down is that their currency is really not that stable relative to the U.S. currency. That being said, you have Russia, which is a very large power throughout the world, now agreeing to base their oil on some other currency. And that if it does spread to other countries, could create a major problem for oil companies. It could create a major problem for our dollar.
Okay, that sets it up because, see, a lot of folks don't know, Bill, I know you know, but the whole petrodollar circumstance, the requirement that the world exchanges and buys oil, they have to do it with the dollar. That was an agreement set up by OPEC, of which Saudi Arabia was the leader years ago. And the arrangement was that the United States would provide Saudi Arabia with military protection and military power and all of that kind of thing. In exchange for that protection, Saudi Arabia would force basically everybody else, being the world's largest supplier of oil, to force them into dollars. Well, correct. Russia, I think, is the third largest supplier of oil. We're in there. But Venezuela is a major supplier of oil, and Russia is already down there. So you have some things already happening. So the question here is, if Saudi Arabia were for some reason say, well, you know what, we may feel a little stronger or safer with Russia, perhaps the United States, and they were to agree to it, then the whole arrangement with the petrodollar would just fly out the window. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, I think also what you got to tie into it, Sam, is that the debt ceiling that we have, the fact that the United States is now printing more, obviously spending more money than it has, can have some impact on really the way other countries look at the valuation of our currency. Does the United States have the capacity to pay back its bills? I mean, historically we have. But there's going to become a tipping point at one point or another where our GDP to debt ratio is not going to be able to be sustainable over a long period of time. And we need people in Washington that's basically have the courage to cut spending as opposed to continue to raise the ceiling and spend more money. And don't get me wrong, I understand that the concern about what happened in Houston and Florida and in Puerto Rico and now in California. That being said, the insurance companies have about $720 billion in reserves. The major insurance companies are not going to be in trouble by a lot of the things that just took place because they have enough cash reserves. Now, smaller insurance companies might be in trouble. That being said, really we need to be concerned about if the world changes from a petrodollar to a petro yuan, then we could actually really see a very big devaluation in our currency and ultimately would have a very big impact on our market, I believe.
Okay, that's been my sense all along as well, Bill, and because everybody's had to exchange in dollars, we've actually been able to export a lot of our debt really to other countries, but that would change if the petrodollar would be moved. Now, let's go back into this in the remaining few seconds. Saudi Arabia, in my opinion, holds a key Because that was the arrangement there. They're the ones who keep people really into buying their oil with the dollar. However, a week ago, the king of Saudi Arabia went to Russia for the first time ever, had a meeting with Putin, had some acknowledgments there. I think they gave an honorary doctorate and all that. But from an economic perspective, they made a major military purchase from Russia that has never happened since OPEC was put into place and the dollar petrodollar arrangement was made. They've always been buying U.S. military. I think that is frankly significant and could have significant economic impact. What do you think about that?
Well, it certainly could be. You know, we have been the protector of Saudi Arabia in the Middle East for a very long period of time, and obviously aligned with Israel. And the common enemy here has been Iran, for the most part. If you see Saudi Arabia aligning itself with the superpowers such as China and the Soviet Union, that creates a much bigger problem for countries like Israel, and it also creates a bigger problem for us because now it destabilizes the entire Middle East because we would have very few allies. And if they decide to exchange oil between each other and an arms race between each other, that really is the spread of communism, in my opinion, and the power of communism, not only in the Middle East, but if you look at Venezuela, where Russia basically took over, we have a problem not only in the Middle East, now we have a problem in South America, and this can erode over a very quick period of time of what happens throughout the world geopolitically, and I think people are starting to learn about it, but they really don't know the long-term impact it has on the American markets when it comes to currency, gold, and other things such as the stock markets itself. So I'm very concerned about what's happening in the Middle East because we see now the joining of Saudi Arabia and Russia for the first time in the history of the world, and now they're buying military equipment from them. You would imagine that the next stop might be China. Who knows? They may be going to China and trading information with China within the next year or two. So it seems that Saudi Arabia has left the U.S. base and has looked to other countries for defense.
Well, that is a game changer. So to sum this up, because we're about done in this segment, William, you're basically saying that on the domestic horizon, you don't see anything really standing in the wings as a major problem for the economy. And if they pass the tax cuts with the kind of things you talked about, that would be a very positive effect. But I also hear you're saying that there are some overseas issues, such as this with the dollar with China, perhaps moves with Saudi Arabia, that are not directly within our control, that could, in fact, have an impact, if not a bigger impact, on our economy. Is that basically what you're saying?
Well, I think the United States has decided they're not going to fight North Korea, that they're going to arm both South Korea and Japan with a tremendous amount of military might, including nuclear weapons. It's better for us to sell our equipment to South Korea and Japan. And I think that maybe part of that has created this problem with Saudi Arabia, because we're going to be selling nuclear arms to these other countries so they can create their own arms race in the South.
All right. I'll have to run. William Parker, CEO of Grandview Asset Management, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Thank you for being with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, stay with us. We're going to come in now with Dr. Mark Christian, Egyptian-born former imam. We're going to talk about actions in the Middle East, high-stakes changes, and we'll have another perspective of how and why Saudi Arabia made a connection with Russia. Stay tuned. You're going to want to miss this.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And if you are listening on the East Coast, you may be right in the middle of your lunch break and are traveling in your car. We want to thank you for joining us. And those of you listen to us on delayed across the country, many, many hours after this program is done, particularly in the West Coast and others, we are really glad that you are a part. I want to encourage you that as you listen to the program, we want to hear from you. We want to hear your questions. We need to hear your comments. This is not a one-sided radio program. We try to provide information that is current, that's impactful for all of us, but to do it in such a way that provides a biblical worldview filter and a constitutional filter by which and through which we evaluate all the information that we bring forward. And we want to know if there are things that you want to have us cover, perhaps, or if you have questions about a specific particular program, go to our website at standinthegapradio.com. Easy to remember, standinthegapradio.com. You can post questions to us. You can communicate to us. If you've not downloaded our free app, please do that, because it makes communication, our ability to give you alerts to programs that are coming up and to special content that we post. We can do it right to your phone, iPhone or Android. Just go to your store and put in the phrase, Stand in the Gap. It's that easy. And then we communicate. You can communicate to us, and you can partner with us, ladies and gentlemen, financially, which is a very important thing to do, because we are primarily a ministry-based program. And we're doing this as the American Pastors Network, committed to truth. And so that's how this whole thing comes about. But we need your help, and we're here for you. I want you to know that, so we need to hear from you. In this second segment, I'm going to welcome in Dr. Mark Christian. He's been with us before, but he's the founder of Global Faith Institute. He is Egyptian-born. He is a former Muslim imam at an early age, and actually connected to some of those who were part of the founding of the Muslim Brotherhood. He knows what he's talking about on all issues relative to Islam, but he's also well versed on all matters there in the Middle East. And I want to bring him in here in just a second. I want to set it up, Mark, to you, and then I'm going to invite you in just a minute. But in this last segment, we talked with William Parker. We talked about Russia in the Middle East. We talked about Saudi Arabia and Saudi Arabia's buying of military hardware from Russia, saying that that is a potentially significant economic factor. But there are other things going into it, and oftentimes there's more than meets the eye. But in any event, Russia, I believe, is playing masterful chess and achieving major success across the world, particularly there in the Middle East, some because of their own skill, but I would submit that also because some biblical prophecy is factoring into this. We're going to talk about that. But that being the case, I want to talk about what happened here in the Middle East, and I want to go to Mark Christian right now. And first of all, I want to welcome you, Mark Christian, to Stand in the Gap today. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's an honor to be on your show and to be with your listeners today.
Well, Mark, we are glad for what you are doing across the country, helping to alert American people to what's really happening out there with this ideology of Islam and how it is permeating and really undercutting our entire constitutional republic. But you wrote an article the other day that caught my attention. You co-authored an article in American Thinker. The article title was this, Donald Trump's Middle East Masterstroke. Caught my attention. You said this. You made a statement in the document that said this, quote, but while you were distracted, talking to the readers generally, but while you were distracted by the latest shiny object dangled by the president, some tectonic plate shifting occurred in the Middle East. Representatives of Hamas and Fatah, who are competing groups seeking control over the Palestinians, they met in Cairo at the invitation of Egypt's President el-Sisi to craft a government coalition forming a single unified Palestinian government, end quote. Now, the agreement is an amazing thing in its own right, Mark, but you asserted that it is a, quote, masterstroke, end quote, by President Trump. Why did you say that?
Well, because I'm not really excited about the united forces of the Palestinians. I'm actually excited about how is that going to play into ushering in a peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinian that is based on more safety and protection for the state of Israel, which is my main concerns and my main focus and my main prayer. You know, yes, we could be surprised and happy or not about the unification of the Palestinian, but we have to understand that the only nation that align itself with the United States ideologically and looking for the same perspective that we're looking for is the state of Israel. None of those Arab countries whatsoever are aligning themselves with us, even though we can consider some of them allies, but not for long, because their ideology and their political system is completely different from ours.
And that being the case, Mark, it appears, and I know you made a point in this article by saying that it was masterful in some respects because the United States doesn't have its fingerprints on this arrangement here now initiated by Egypt's el-Sisi and these Palestinian groups. But Hamas, which is one of them, and Fatah, Hamas is Sunni, but located there also is Hezbollah, which is Shia. And they are also appearing to work in greater alignment against their common enemy of Israel. It appears to me that the winner here perhaps is Russia, who is solidifying position, and the United States position is being weakened. How do you look at the overall influences of Russia and the United States in the Middle East with these changes that we're talking about?
See, because I grew up in the midst of all of that stuff, and I'm a proud American citizen right now and free in Christ, I understand that things, you know, in a completely different level. It seems confusing from the outside, and I would love to kind of break it down at least one of those topics, which is like the core of the article. But to look at the whole idea about Russia and the Saudi Arabia and the Iran, it is very confusing to many. It is not for me as much as it's for everybody, because I kind of know most of those key players in a kind of different level and so forth. So let us break down one of things to make this more clear. You know, we are living in a time that is very interesting, as all of us agree. And, you know, to reach an agreement in Israel to make Israel more safe and more protected and sign a real peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinian or the Arabs in the bigger picture, you have to have a united force of the Palestinians to have that kind of peace treaty, because who's going to be signing the peace treaty? And at the same time, we are in a historic moment in the Middle East. The Middle East in general, most of the countries, whether it is Egypt or Saudi Arabia or the Jordanians or the Emiratis or the Kuwaitis or the Bahrainis, all of those leaders right now, they want to get over the Arab-Palestinian conflict. Why? Because in the past, it was serving their position and making it more stronger by creating a common enemy that they can unite all their nations against and fight for it, and they can stabilize their regime. Now it is the opposite. Keeping the conflict is creating a chaos that is leading to them to be ousted themselves. So all of a sudden, the Arab-Israeli conflict shifted from something that they want to propagate and want to enforce, they want to take it away because it's going to help them to stay in their position. So we are in a historic moment that all of those nations want this conflict to be over with. The other thing is to have this conflict be over with, we have a problem on the ground. The Palestinians are split between Hamas, which is a Muslim Brotherhood-backed organization, and PLO, Fatah, which is more secular and yet fighting Israel at the same time. And they were fighting with each other in a very bloody fight for quite some time right now. And two, they control different regions of the Palestinian land, and they continue fighting. And whenever any peace treaty or peace talks takes place, it doesn't really work because you are working with the wrong people or even 50% of the people. So all of a sudden, Donald Trump started taking a great approach. He is trying to take advantage of the historic moment where all those leaders want peace treaty to sign, and he himself wants to have a better future for Israel and all of that kind of stuff. Then he worked with the president of Egypt. He is the leader of the biggest country in the Middle East. And he asked him to invite the Palestinians, both parts, to come to his country and to have a kind of a peace talk with each other and kind of uniting force with each other. And he listened to what Trump asked him to do, and then they did. And the conflict goes on, and the steps goes on. But what I was referring to in this, you know, Trump had a little bit of better understanding of the conflict. He didn't want to take a credit of getting the Palestinians together, because if you get them together by backed up American kind of talks, everybody would start calling other names and says, you know, you're listening to America. But he asked the president of Egypt to do it so Egypt can take the credit and also get success that is not going to be conflicting with the Palestinians on the ground. And there is more and more to explain that, but I encourage people to read the article, to read more about what's going on and how pulling out of the UNESCO is serving in the same conflict and so forth, and moving forward to peace treaty.
All right, Dr. Mark Christian, he is the founder of Global Faith Institute, which you can find by going to globalfaithinstitute.org. He's my guest here today on Standing in the Gap today, and he'll be with us in the next segment. When we come back, I'm going to ask him a concluding question about, is it really better to, well, we're going to talk about the Palestinians. One more question, and then we're going to go to his view on why Saudi Arabia went in an historic mission to Russia, why they did that, in light of the conversation we had on the other segment about the economic potential. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to go into our final segment here on the last day of this week of October. It's hard to believe. Our special guest is Dr. Mark Christian here in this segment. He's the founder of Global Faith Institute. Our general theme for today's program is high-stakes chess. Russia, the dollar, and the U.S. economy, we covered a lot of that, along with China, Saudi Arabia, in the first two segments with our special guest. And then in these last two, we're looking more directly on the ground with some changes happening in the Middle East. There's an economic, but there's a broader aspect, impact of geopolitical as well. Dr. Mark Christian, on the other segment, you were commenting on the fact, and you made a comment that the historic, which I agree with you, it's historic, the coming together of the Palestinian factions. They have been fighting. You cited Hamas, you cited Fatah, and there's some others mixed up in that group right there. They've been at each other's throats for a long time. That this latest agreement brokered by Egypt's el-Sisi is in the interest of the Arabs, I think you said, because it gets rid of these fighting factions. Now, my question to you is, from a military perspective or a geopolitical perspective, I would say all of these nations in the Middle East, whether they are heavily secular or not, I mean, at least the Islamic countries, at the end of the day, they don't want to see America continue, maybe for the moment, but they have their designs on exporting Islam worldwide and eventually bringing everybody to their knees, just varying in strategy, I suppose, between Saudi Arabia, who funds and owns most of the mortgages on all of the over 3,000 mosques in this country already, or Iran, who threatens to take us out with a single bomb. But the Palestinians have been a thorn in everybody's side. I wonder if it's really wise strategy to actually bring together a unified voice of the Palestinians strategically, other than trying to come up with a peace treaty with Israel. If it's really in the best interest of the United States, or if it really is not in the best interest of the Islamic Arab world, and really potentially Russia themselves, who seems to be moving themselves into favored positions with all of the parties involved. What are your thoughts?
Well, you throw in a whole bunch of questions over there, but I will try to clear something first. You know, number one is, yes, Islam's main agenda and main prophecy is to dominate the whole world and the rest of the planet. But they cannot accomplish that with the current status that they are in. This is kind of a two-step situation. You know, number one step and the main goal of the Islamic countries right now and the Islamist movement at large is to unite the Muslim forces all together economically and militarily and ideologically all together in one force. And then they can implement that to take over the rest of the world, as you mentioned. But at this point in time, they are the focusing on the first goal and not the second, because there is no chance to accomplish the second if they are not going to get the first. So when we have that in mind, is that better for us to deal with you know, the Saudis the way we are in the Middle East and so forth. Unfortunately and sadly, the United States of America, even with this current administration, does not have a clear idea or a vision or understanding of what the main goal of the Muslim world is and the Islamist movement is. We are trying to look under our feet and try to solve one problem at a time and not looking at the bigger pictures. And this is why we keep on stumbling every step of the way since even, not since 9/11, but even before that. And we need, and I think in America needs urgently, to look at the bigger picture and to see the planning of the Islamist movement and the Muslim countries and how the ideology of Islam and the prophecy of Islam fits in with the chess that they are playing every day with the United States and the world. And they have one goal to get it, but they have to take different steps in the way. And this is why we have a problem.
Mark, I think that's well laid out. Ladies and gentlemen, the connection, if I can make it here, with what Mark was just saying, is that there are worldviews. We talk about it a lot. A biblical worldview, Judeo-Christian, biblical worldview leads to freedom, leads to prosperity, leads to a constitutional form of government like we have in this nation. It is counter, 100% counter to an Islamic, Quran-based, Muhammad-driven world view, which is completely opposite. And that's what you're talking about, Mark, is that these two worldviews, if we do not understand these distinctives, we will lose. And that's what you're saying, what you're saying. Now, I'd like you to shift now a little bit to go to Saudi Arabia. I think you've made it clear that the United States has to do more working with Saudis right now and less with Iran because of the imminency of the threat against us. Now, Saudis made an historic move. King Salman went to Russia, earned an earned doctorate, I think he was given by Putin. But they also ordered, for the first time since OPEC came into existence and the first time since the United States agreed to protect Saudi Arabia militarily, they bought military equipment from Russia. That raises a whole question of, are the Saudis also now going into the Russian orbit, or do they maybe have some other design? Can you give some comment on what your thoughts are about that?
There is completely different, you know, you are seeing this differently from the reality of it. You know, we cannot put in one sentence high technology with Russia because they have no high technology. You know, Russia is struggling financially and struggling politically and struggling in multiple ways. They pretended to be a superpower, and they are in a way because they have, you know, nuclear weapons and so forth. But in the reality, they are not the superpower they used to be, and they are looking for financial gains and political gains any way that they can, especially in the Middle East, because of the Middle East is the main market for them at this point in time in multiple ways. So when you look at the Saudis going over there, this is part of a bigger picture and a bigger deal that is going on for quite some time. You know, Russia is depending on Iran and supporting Iran and backing them together with the Chinese and also backing up Syria for quite some time. Right now, with the new administration, you have Donald Trump has struck a deal with the Saudis, and it is a two-side deal. The Saudis wants one thing from the United States of America, that they that the United States will help and actually lead the way to defang the Iranian government from any potential of nuclear weapons in the future, and also to even go to the furthest goal to remove the regime of Iran altogether and to, you know, transform Iran completely from the way it is as a superpower in the Middle East into a country that has no power whatsoever, because this is the biggest threat to the Saudis. And the Saudis, in return, promised America that they will help the United States of America fight terrorism, fight ISIS, and try to stabilize the Middle East and so forth. And when you see the King of Saudi Arabia is going over there, because he wants to help them in this kind of agenda. And the reason that he went to Russia is to try to strike a deal with Putin to say, I am bigger, I am stronger, I am a better future for you. Stop helping Iran, or at least back up from supporting Iran as much as you want to. We can give you some support as well. And this is why you see the deal and the money and the oil and other things that took place over there. And again, this is part of a bigger picture. Things that get confusing. I wish you can, you know, I can come on and explain that in a little bit more details. But the reality is, the Islamist movement knows exactly the future and the prophecies of Christianity, and they know their prophecies as well, and they try to support theirs against ours.
All right, Dr. Mark Christian, thank you for being with us. Ladies and gentlemen, we didn't get to complete this topic, but I'll leave it with this. Russia and Iran as an arranged coalition is identified biblically. You're not going to separate that. We ought to try everything we can, but those two are linked in Ezekiel 38 and 39. God's word is moving through as we see it, and that's where we need to stand. So, ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you, take this information, use it as best you can, trust in the Lord as you go into this weekend, and I hope that you will be in God's house worshiping with other believers this Sunday. Stand in the gap for truth until we come back.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.